to call the meeting to order of the Accommodations Tax Committee. The public and the press have been duly notified. And do we have an approval of the previous meeting's minutes? Do I hear a?
A motion to approve.
A second?
Second.
Second. Do we have any citizens' comments at this time?
Ms. Haney, you need a vote on the motion to approve the minutes?
Oh, aye.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Thank you.
Aye.
Aye. Moving on to citizens' comments. Do we have any citizens or comment? Financial statements with Debbie.
Okay, so I have not been able to access my Excel files because of computer issues that City Hall's been having. So what you have in front of you is the canned reports that come out of the accounting system. And I just highlighted the activity on the expense and revenue side that is new, because we just met last month. We updated you through August at that time, so now we're just gonna hit the things that happened in September. Is that okay with everybody? So the first page is the balance sheet. Cash at the end of September 2019 is $1,737,000 in the state ATAX account. There's a small $11,000 total account payable, and then the fund balance is the difference. So good, strong cash position currently. Flipping the page into the revenues. The only revenue that we had in September was some interest. You can see that on page 3 at the top. In blue, that is the September interest of $2,379. So total revenues year to date, because we have not received our quarterly payment from the state, is all relates to interest, and it's about $8,000. Moving on to the expenditures for September. They're highlighted in red, so we paid the Water and Sewer Commission for the irrigation at the Breach Inlet sign. The next page is all expenses that we've already talked about related to mainly 4th of July. The top of page 5, September expenses, we did pay the balance on the July 4th fireworks show. And you can see that a check was cut for the MUSC Foundation. That was the sponsorship y'all approved last month. We also had normal recurring charges associated with the city's website and hosted backup. On page 6, there was a September purchase of a thermal imaging camera that was per the budget that y'all approved. That's in the fire department. And then on page 8, now we're into the operation of the Front Beach restroom. So there was a power bill, some water bills, an invoice for paper supplies at the restroom, and then expenses associated with the attendant and cleaning and the beach trash and recycle operation that is funded with state aid tax. So those are the expenses that came out in September, and so through 9/30/19, we've had about $8,000 worth of income, $94,000 worth of expenditures for a net of $87,000 expenses in excess of revenues. But again, this is early in the year. We have not received any of the major revenue from the state. So we are in good shape according to budget, where we would expect to be this time of year.
So thank you, Debbie.
Sure.
Do we have any old business to consider? No old business. New business, we have a presentation by the Charleston Visitors Bureau, Darren Lawson and Frank Fredericks.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for allowing me to be here this morning. I have Frank Fredericks, I think most everybody knows, Managing Director at Wild Dunes Resort. And I also brought Darby Keene. He's my IT backup because I know that if something goes wrong with this presentation, I can't personally fix it, but he hopefully can. So that is why he is here. So I'm going to go ahead and jump into it and talk about the partnership we've had with the Isle of Palms, how it affects and benefits Isle of Palms directly, and specifically also how it helps the region as a whole. Give you an overview of the organization, history of our relationship, what some metrics are, some successes, and then some other initiatives. And hopefully if we have some time, we can get into some Q&A. I've also got some stuff to hand out at the end that you can look into after the fact if you're still interested. Our mission, very simply, is to unify the travel industry in this region for individual meeting, incentive, and group travel, both domestically and internationally. We're a 501c6, which means we're a not-for-profit. We serve the 9 municipalities in the Charleston region. We have a 27-member board with representation from each municipality. We have 54 employees and an annual budget of about $20 million. Isle of Palms people, or residents or business people on our board. Lynn Lassane is a resident. She's actually our immediate past chair. Carol Rice is your appointee to our board. David Jennings, who is an Isle of Palms resident, is our treasurer. And as I mentioned, Frank is here. He is currently our marketing task force chairman, and he is a former chairman of our board of governors. Here's where our revenues come from. 36% of it is from the local accommodations tax. 38% of it is privately generated through the Bureau, and 26% comes from the destination-specific grant fund that's administered by the South Carolina State Legislature. And this is where it gets really complicated, is the accommodations tax. This is all about how the state accommodations tax is distributed, and that's basically the portion that comes to us. It's not the portion from the county that comes back to you or your municipal aid tax, which certainly you have total control over. At the end of the day, roughly 30% is what ends up coming to the Bureau, Explore Charleston, to not only promote the Isle of Palms, but basically the region as a whole and lift up everyone. And as I said, that's in our leave behind, so if you want to go over that a little bit more in detail, you can. But we could probably spend an hour going over this, and I don't really think you want to do that. And accommodation tax is collected by municipality. Of that 36% of our budget, this is where it comes from. The biggest piece from Charleston County, then from the city of Charleston, followed by North Charleston, and between 7 and 8% from towns of Mount Pleasant, Kiowa, and then the city of Isle of Palms at 8%. And here are where the expenses are. And I'm very proud to say 87% of what we spend goes to marketing, goes to sales, and goes to media relations. And we'll talk about all of these, but particularly about the media relations, because it's really about generating the interest, helping people understand the many things there are to do here, that it's more than just a beach. How do I access these things? How do all these dots connect? What's going to make me interested in coming here as opposed to any place else that I could go? We all know how wonderful it is, but unfortunately not everybody does, and that's our job, is to help people understand that. So our marketing obviously increases the awareness. Print, broadcast, digital, and online advertising. We've got a separate landing page digitally just for beaches with a specific Isle of Palms page. And we've got a bunch of itineraries. We've got local guides. We've got blogs. We've got a bunch of stuff all intended to drive traffic and create interest and get people to visit this area. Here's an example of one ad that ran this summer talking about Charleston this summer. It features beaches as well as history. What we're trying to help people understand is this is a destination unlike any other. You've got a whole lot of things. It's not an either or proposition. It's an and as we connect all the dots. That was in AAA Living. This is one that was in Midwest Living, certainly has a beach component there. Seaside Escape, Midwest Living, certainly a good target market for us. And then moving into the Charleston area beaches. This is a landing page that we drive through a lot of SEO, Facebook, Google AdWords, Google Display Network to drive people to this beach to let them know what we've got beach-wise. You'll see all the 5 beaches here listed. Then there's the Isle of Palms specific page. Very happy to tell you this, and I think you'll be happy to hear, over 69,000 visits have been made to this site in the past year between October 1st of last year and October 1st of this year. And that's actually about 15,000 more than the next closest beach. So that, I think, is pretty significant. I talked a minute ago a little bit about the media and what we do in media relations. This is really the thing that makes all the difference in the world, is getting this third-party editorial endorsement from major publications as well as minor publications, both domestically and internationally. You may have heard, obviously, about the British Airways flight from London to Charleston that we were integrally involved in making happen. What you may not have heard about is the fact that we got the British Guild of Travel Writers to come over that first week. They are the equivalent organization to the Society of American Travel Writers. So there were 64 of these Brits who had not had an official meeting in the U.S. in 15 years. We got them over here, and they've been doing nothing but filing stories ever since. There were a couple that got filed before they even got home, which was very, very gratifying. We took them to see anything and everything you can possibly imagine. And as I mentioned a moment ago, we've got a number of blogs, itineraries, and other things that I'm going to show a few to you and give you other information about that you can look into later if you're interested. Here's some examples, some media mentions. And again, all these media are media that we work directly with to one extent or another. Some of them, it's literally holding their hands as we go through the community. Others, it's just providing them with itineraries or suggested itineraries, ideas and suggestions for what they ought to do based on what their interests are and what the focus of their editorial is. Southern Living, obviously Isle of Palms coming in is a top beach town, certainly well-deserved. Here's an example of some digital campaigns that featured the Isle of Palms on Facebook, which have worked phenomenally well, and some more social media. One of these is Facebook, the rest are Instagram. They've done quite well. And then some blog posts. This blog post, 14 spots to get your 10,000 steps in Charleston. Interesting thing about that, it's a different take on coming to the beach. It's not go to the beach and lie in the sun or swim in the ocean. It's like, what a great place, walk on the beach, help get your steps in. Trying to figure different ways of approaching the same sort of challenge, but opening up people's minds to how much more there is to do at all of these places that we're so fortunate to be able to enjoy ourselves. And then you have this 5 of the happiest seaside towns in America. That's one of our best performing blogs we've ever had. To date, I think it's had over 145,000 people go to it. And again, it's not just here's a picture of the beach or here's a picture of a historic house, come visit. It's like, let me explain to you how this can be done, how all these things fit together, and why we have all this stuff that's so much better than anybody else has. So you'd really be missing out if you went someplace else on vacation. Sweet Southern Summer Escape. This is all about the Isle of Palms. All of this. Had almost 16,000 views so far. And that's the itinerary.
Sorry, Perrin, if I may, just to help add to that, Wild Dunes is, I know one of the, is the top contributor to the Isle of Palms accommodations tax, thanks to our guests, so we're grateful for that. The Convention and Visitors Bureau, as he goes through these, is our number one source of inquiries online, which is pretty much the only way, or not the only way, but pretty much the strongest way that potential guests communicate with us these days. And the other thing about the community, the greater community, the Tri-County area, or the islands and the city, however you want to look at it, the research that Wild Dunes conducts on our guests tells us that the number one reason that folks choose Isle of Palms and Wild Dunes is because of Charleston. So in essence, Charleston, through all this marketing, is really drawing that traveler to our region. And in our case, we're competitive, so versus Hilton Head or Myrtle Beach, even Kiowa.
And Absolutely, you said it far better than I could. But this, like I said, this itinerary has done so well because it really points out all the things that people can do. I mean, it opens up their minds to a lot of different possibilities they may not have been aware of. And then we have another one, an island hopping adventure. Day one, Isle of Palms. So it really helps people understand that there's so much beach and coastal opportunity here. And again, that's had over 32,000 views. Then local guides. This is something we're doing to really help people put themselves in the place of a local. We've got about 12 of these up now. We're adding new ones. And these are people who, they're very, very different. There's a guy who is a sweetgrass basket weaver. We've got him. We've got Chris Crawley with Coastal Expeditions, who is, you know, nature outfitter and guide, talking all about places he goes. And of course, one of the places he talks about is Isle of Palms. And this is Kim Graham, who's a professional photographer, and she's really very much focused on the beaches. And I'm going to show you her video story, and all these are on our website.
One of my favorite things to do is to get to the beach for sunrise. To be out there before footprints have touched the fresh sand, you know, that the tide has just smoothed over. It's so special. I love taking photos of people, events like weddings and portraits, but Charleston offers such a beautiful variety of things to photograph that actually shoot a lot of landscape and architecture now as well. I take lots of pictures while I'm out exploring and wandering. And as a parent myself, I realize how important pictures are. Gracie and I, when we go out, it's this wonderful compromise. She very agreeably will go out with me while I want to catch a sunset, and I will very happily take her shopping. She loves shopping, trendy boutiques. She loves jewelry. Charleston is a beautiful place for families. We bike a lot, we walk trails. Whether you're fishing or boating, you've got so many family-friendly activities. When I'm out capturing other people's memories, that's really special for me to know that I play a part in that. What's even better is seeing the memories that we are making as a family. And I can be having what I think is just a very wonderful average day. And then Gracie will pop up and say something that just grabs me. She'll say, Mom, I can't believe I get to grow up here. I can't believe this is my home. I mean, I'm not doing anything really hard to make that happen. Just living here every day is significant to who she is as a person. I think I am Charleston's number one fan. I love this place so much.
Again, that's just one example. I think that's pretty compelling. I think as a parent, seeing something like that, you want to come visit and bring your children. All right, switching gears from the leisure to the group sales, something Frank is near and dear to his heart, and is going to become even more so with the opening of their new hotel and their new meeting facilities. And the beauty of that is it's going to bring visitors when you really need them. It's one of the things that we've been concentrating on the last couple of years is the island lifestyle, not just you're in your bathing suit, you're on the beach, you know, in the middle of summer. We know you've got that covered. It's the spring and the fall is the area of opportunity. And that island lifestyle is the kind of things that you all enjoy because you live out here. It's the biking, it's tennis, it's golf, it's fishing. It's seafood, it's just the general ambiance of being here, and it's a walk on the beach in a light jacket. It's all the things that you can enjoy that don't necessarily mean getting in the water, because obviously the area of opportunity is the spring and the fall. We might be able to move the needle a little bit in the winter, but it's mostly going to be spring and fall that there's an opportunity, and that's when Wild Dunes is attracting the lion's share of their meeting, and their meeting, whether it's association or corporate business. And as Frank pointed out, that helps even out the dips in ATAX collections over the course of the year. So
it's about 30% of our total room night business, and Perrin's right, the majority of it happens in the spring and the fall. We wish more in the winter too, but the spring and fall.
But it's extremely important to this island, just as it is to the community as a whole, that we have a good mix of those business travelers. And the beauty of those business travelers, particularly, are here for meetings and conventions, who haven't been here before, chances are they're going to see it and really like it. They're going to say, you know what, I need to come back here and bring my family, bring my wife, my husband, whatever it may be, because, you know, we need to spend more time here. So we know there's a direct, excuse me, correlation between people coming here for meetings and then wanting to come back here for leisure. And I wanted to wrap up with some other initiatives that we're undertaking that are integral to everything else, but they're not exactly marketing related. The Destinometrics program, short-term rentals, air service, and workforce development. Destinometrics is a program that we are underwriting that basically tracks the performance of beach rentals, condos, houses, that sort of thing, through participating property management companies. It gives us a good idea of what we need to be doing from a marketing perspective when things are going well, when they're not going as well as we like, and helps us understand how to reallocate resources. And if you're a participating company, such as Island Realty or Wild Dunes or several of the other companies out here, it helps you benchmark yourself against your competition. You know, are we doing as well as everybody else? Are we doing better in rate and not so much in occupancy, or the other way around? There's a real equilibrium that everyone likes to reach, and this is I guess the most comparable thing to a revenue management tool that a lot of the hotels, or actually all the hotels, would have. Also, we are underwriting a program called STR Helper through the county. There's a county platform. I know Pinellas Homes is getting ready to get on board with that too, and it's making sure that everyone who is in the short-term rental business is doing what they're supposed to do. They've got a business license, they've got a short-term rental license, and they are remitting all the taxes that they are required to. That hasn't always been the case, and you could miss out on a lot of money if people aren't in compliance. I know from the county's perspective, once they're able to bring everybody into compliance, they see a significant increase in funds that they will have, and again, a portion of that ends up coming to the Island Palms as well. So that's all. That's something we think is going to be beneficial, regardless of which community you're in. Another thing that's near and dear to our hearts is air service. We've been basically leading the charge on that. You'll see right here in 2011, March 2011 is when Southwest Airlines started flying here. That was a six-year process, courting them to come. They did so well that it only took us 2 years to get JetBlue here. And then everybody has sort of fallen in line after that. We've got, you know, Allegiant, Frontier, our legacy carriers have added service. So you can see the growth in the number of flights. I like to point out that whether it's leisure travel, whether it's meetings and conventions, whether it's economic development through Charleston County Economic Development or the Development Alliance, or if you're just retired and want to go visit your grandchildren in Chicago, you know, this is the one thing everybody can agree on. More flights to more cities and more seats is a good thing. And then you see the seat growth over that period of time. It's not just been flights, it's been more seats as they've added larger aircraft. And airfares have come down an average of, I believe it's 20% since Southwest started flying here. Finally, on other initiatives is workforce development, and I think Frank will back me up on this, that, you know, like every other industry, because the unemployment rate is so low, it's really difficult to find employees. And we have led an initiative to do a lot more outreach to get more people involved in this industry as a foot in the door. And for many people, it may be a good fit and they can make a career out of it. And you may have seen this article, it's in the Post and Courier, and that's Michael Blake. He is a Johns Island native that came from pretty humble beginnings. He's now the Director of Food and Beverage at the Sanctuary at Kiawah Island, which is a pretty prestigious position to have. And he is an integral part of this effort along with us. But it's not just geared towards minorities. It's also geared towards people who may have physical challenges, people who may have intellectual challenges, maybe they're on the autism spectrum. It's less about finding a job and sticking someone in it. It's about finding people, figuring out what their abilities are, and creating a job around that. It's not going to be a quick fix by any stretch of the imagination, but we're already making progress, and we feel like it's not only going to be a good thing from the standpoint of employment, but it's also going to be the right thing to do, and that's why we should do it. Finally, we have a quarterly municipal report. It's 2 pages, as it comes out every quarter, and it goes to the mayor and all the council members. We'll probably be getting it in, I believe, in the next several weeks. So that's how we keep them up to speed on what we're doing. There's a lot of general information that affects everybody over here at the top left. Then it's specific Isle of Palms information and a bunch of benchmarking metrics, so you see kind of how things are going from a number standpoint. And finally, if we have time, and I don't know if we do or not, if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them if I can.
Any questions?
Well, I know you've got other things on your agenda, so what I'll do is just give you these handouts at the end. One of the things I would like to say is, I talked about all the media mentions and media we've worked with. I've got a sheet that's got all of that on there, but more importantly, it's got my contact information. If you email me your email address, then I will send you the live document back, and anywhere you see an underlined thing in blue, click on it, it'll take you right to that article, so you can see it if you have any interest in that. So.
Mr. Lawson, thank you very much. That was a very good presentation.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is consideration of sponsorship request in the amount of $6,000 from the IOP Turtle Team and IOP Exchange Club for the Isle of Palms Turtle Hatchling Scavenger Hunt.
Good morning. I'm Kitty Riley with the Exchange Club. I've recently taken on the role of community service chair, so I've been working with Desiree and other folks, and Mary Pringle's with me, and Barbara Gobian
is here.
Oh, okay. So I have the turtle team with me. I've always aspired to be a turtle lady myself, so this may pull me into it. So we sent out a lot of our information in the ATAX form, but I'll just give you a brief overview of what we're looking to do. In partnership, the three of us, including the City of Isle of Palms, we've been working with Desiree, we came up with this idea of a turtle hatchling scavenger hunt. And it's similar to something that they do in Greenville, South Carolina as well. They have, theirs is surrounding mice, because they have a street that's got a famous bookstore that draws in children. So the purpose of this is that, one, we want to create greater awareness to the turtle hatchlings. And to have something that engages families, so both adults as well as children, but that primarily focus on children. So the concept overall would be that we would have clues that would draw you to different parts of the Front Beach area. Examples, the VFW Club, the Public Safety Building, where the turtle statue is. So it would gain familiarization with the Front Beach area, and we would also work with the Front Beach businesses, some of the real estate organizations, to have clues in a pamphlet that the clues would take you to where the different hatchling plaques would be. So on those plaques we have, and I've got a sample of that you guys can look at. This is what the plaques would look like, and this is kind of an example of the hatchling. We're getting estimates right now. We'd like to have like nice bronze plaques, which would have the hatchling and an educational statement that the turtle team had come up with. In order to draw folks in, we leverage some of our websites. The Exchange Club has one. We work with the city on theirs, and now I think I've got a new branch in over here that we might want to leverage as well.
And we have one too.
Yeah, and the turtle team has one too. So I think it's a combination of drawing more people to activities within the Isle of Palms, and then also greater awareness to the hatchlings, because as you walk along the beaches, a lot of times, like as I do, because I'm a resident of Isle of Palms as well, a lot of the kids are wondering, like, what is that? Can I walk near it? And so I think some of the things that Mary and Barb and team have come up with are really great educational statements as well. So, that was included in the package. So the educational statements were included in the package, as well as clues, the clues that we would use. So, and I think the other thing too is that as we worked on it together, it's a great example of a three-pronged approach within our city of a nonprofit, the Exchange Club, the Turtle Team, as well as the city working together. So any questions? I think from a kickoff perspective, we like to kick it off in the and have it ready to go in the March timeframe. And we could do it along with the Front Beach when we do the Front Beach Fest. So it would be a good way to kick it off at that point before we start to get in a lot of the folks for the summer months.
A springtime event.
Yep. Okay. And include it along with as part of the, we kick it off as part of the festival that we do on Front Beach.
Do we have any questions for Ms. Riley?
Just to clarify, the funds would be used to purchase the plaques.
Right.
Plaques. Do we have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve
first.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can I grab the hatchling back?
We're very protective.
Thank you so much.
It's really cute.
Thank you.
I believe we've worked on all of the agenda, mm-hmm. and so now is the time to decide our next meeting date. Do you have any recommendations for a meeting date for us?
We can hold off unless we receive any additional requests for sponsorships, and we can coordinate. Unless you all want to schedule one meeting, a meeting for November, or want to push it to January potentially. January?
Let's say January.
Okay. Well, then the first Wednesday of second Wednesday of January is what we typically would be the 8th.
Yeah.
Want to schedule 11 o'clock on the 8th? You need a motion to adjourn?
Oh.
You're not allowed to.
Motion to adjourn.
I shall move.
Second.